Usual health and wellness feature that we bring you every Monday, and tonight we're going to be talking about some very interesting research that's going, could may possibly even lead to some kind of breakthrough in terms of the way in which a cancer is treated. We're going to be talking about the BioTweet project, and to tell us more about it, we have on the line the Wurtz Molecular Medicine Honor Student at Wurtz University, Sasha Reznichenko. Good evening, Sasha, and thanks so much for your time.
Hello there. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you very much. Thanks so much for joining us. Please talk to us. Tell us what is molecular medicine?
Well, molecular medicine is the study of disease, but on a cellular level. So we actually look at what happens inside your cells. So not the symptoms of what happens in your body like a doctor would, but what is actually happening in your cells with your genes or with your proteins. Yes. So it's also the study of disease, but just in more specific detail.
Okay. And now tell us about this biology and how it's going to work, this and what the BioTweet project is all about.
So what happened was we actually got inspired with the whole idea of social networking, so with things like Facebook and Twitter, and we thought of how we could apply this to biology. And we came up with this term BioTweet, and it's supposed to be a play on words to refer to Twitter so that people would understand this concept and they'd be able to relate to it. So what we are doing is we're engineering bacteria that can basically talk to each other. So it's a bacterial communication network. Mm. So they can detect a certain substance and then locate it, because they search an area, they locate a certain substance, and then they can report and send messages onto other bacteria to perform a certain task, to act on that substance, to absorb it or degrade it, you know, to solve the problem at that point.
Okay.
Yes.
And at what stage of the development?
Well, at this point, because we've only really worked on it in the lab for about 2.5 months, so it's actually quite a short time, you know, for a research project. So far, we've actually got a bacteria that is sensitive to a substance, and it moves to that substance in a directed manner, and once it reaches that area, it changes color. So that is the message that it's carrying at the moment, a color change. But we haven't got as far as to actually get the bacteria to return and then convey that message onto other bacteria yet. So it's really in the beginning phases so far.
Is it groundbreaking research that you're doing, or is it actually based on work that's been done before?
What we are doing is actually novel, because it is based on work that's done that has been done before. But the way we are using it is in a new way. No one's ever used it to make bacteria communicate. Yeah.
So how will the technology be used, and where will it be used? Where will it be best suited?
So because our project is just involves bacterial communication, it's actually really a template for many kinds of applications, may they be in the industrial or medical field. So some of the future applications that we were thinking of was perhaps to target cancer in something like the colon in the human body, and because you have naturally occurring bacteria in your intestines, and we could engineer those bacteria, that is actually the bacteria that we're working with, and we could engineer it to locate cancerous cells in your colon, and then recruit other bacteria or release of a drug to that specific point of where the cancer is or where the tumor is arising. Mm. So in that way, it would actually be a targeted method of therapy to affect the rest of your body. And then you could also get a color change, which we've already achieved with our bacteria. So, for example, if a diseased person saw a color change in their stool, they would know that, okay, something's wrong here. I have a cancerous tumor in my colon. Yeah, that was just one of the applications we thought of. But another thing is you could maybe treat polluted water with it too, because you have many bacteria in water, and we could maybe engineer bacteria that would be sensitive to a heavy metal, maybe mercury or something that's pollutant in water. And that could also pass the message on that there's mercury in the water, and then activate other bacteria that could maybe absorb that substance or degrade it.
Now, from as far as a cancer, treating cancers is concerned, would that only apply to, you've specifically mentioned, cancer in the intestines or cancerous cells in the colon. Would it only be confined to that, or would it be able to, would you be able to apply it to all forms of cancer?
Look, I'm not sure. Just the colon is the first idea that sprung up, because we already have bacteria in the colon. So, you know, you wouldn't really be intervening too much. You know, it wouldn't be as dangerous to place that bacteria into your colon because it already occurs there naturally.
Mm.
So, you know, it would be a bit more difficult. You'd have to think a little bit harder before you apply it to something else in the body, like maybe the breast cancer or something. Yeah,
would it be a real, do you see this being a viable alternative, maybe in the treatment of cancer in those areas?
I think so, and I think in the future it's very possible to have treatment like that. I think it's quite a exciting new field, you know, and it could really take mid-level. Yes.
Now, how much time have you spent so far? You said you've been working on it for 3 months. How much more time do you think you will require to develop in your development of the whole project?
Look, if we would take it further, I think it would need quite a lot more time. And obviously, before you can actually apply it in something like a person's body, you would need to go through many levels of safety regulation and checks to see if it's actually, you know, a viable method of treatment. So it would take quite a while, but I think it would be a much shorter time span than, say, the development of a new vaccine. That could take, you know, more than 10 years usually. So something like this could really take maybe a couple of years, or, you know, it's really a fraction of the time that it would take to develop a new drug.
Sure.
Yeah.
And who's you currently working with on the project, and what kind of support are you getting?
We are a team of 5 students. It's a team of 4 biologists and 1 engineer. So, and we're under the supervision of 2 molecular biologists, and we also have help from other masters and PhD students who are, you know, serve as advisors to the team. But mainly the lab work itself has been done purely by the students.
Mm.
So that's what's quite exciting about our project. And obviously this also wouldn't be possible without the financial support of the university, as well as the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research and the Departments of Science and Technology. And Incarbid Biotech have also sponsored us financially. So, yeah, all those people have made it possible.
Sounds good. And you leave for Amsterdam on Thursday, I believe, for a competition. What is the competition that you'll be attending, and how does it work?
So the competition, it's an international competition, but since it's been growing at such a rapid rate, usually all the teams would go to MIT in Boston, but this year they've decided to split the competition into regional jamborees and then the final, which would be in MIT. So we fall under the European group because of the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So about 50 teams will participate in the regional jamborees of each continent. So there's one in America, one in Europe, and one in Asia. So we'll be competing around with 50 other teams from Europe. So, yeah, it's quite a challenge, you know. We're going to be going up against universities such as Imperial College London and Cambridge and Oxford and varsities from Germany and all those countries, so it's quite exciting. Basically, how it works is every team has already made a website, and that is how you get judged before you get to this conference. So the judges have a week to look at everyone's website to see what their projects are about and to judge them on that. And then once you get there, every team also gets the opportunity to present their project. And then you also have to make a poster. So that and that also is going to count towards a fraction of the judging. And then, yeah, we're hoping to bring back a gold medal.
Well, absolutely. Now, I mean, on what basis is each project judged? I mean, are you judged on how innovative it is, or on the success that you've had already with your research? Or how do they judge it? I mean, what is the basis on which you're judged?
There are certain criteria that you have to fulfill. So you can get no medal or bronze, silver, or gold medal. So it's not first, second, third place. It's more like categories.
Okay.
So if you fulfill a certain list of requirements, you'll qualify for a certain kind of medal. So to qualify for a gold, talk about the top prize, yeah?
Yeah, sure.
You, apart from actually doing the research, you also have to take part in some kind of human advances project. So the team this year, we've done a couple of things for that. We attended National Science Week at Sibono, and we did a workshop and presentations for the kids there, which was quite a bit of fun. And then we also did a survey online to see if people know about this field of synthetic biology and what they think it is and do they think it's dangerous. And we also attended a couple of conferences, which were new conferences of synthetic biology that were launched in South Africa. So it was, you know, quite a pleasure to attend those. And then you also obviously get judged on your work. And you have to either improve an already existing biological machine, which they call them biological machines, mm-hmm. so these little pieces of DNA that we work with. And I've actually done that. We've improved a biological part that has already been used by another team, but it never worked for them, and now we've actually improved it, and we've proved that it works. And then you have to submit these new machines that you make to something that's called the Biological Registry of Parts, and it's this thing online. It's basically a catalog of pieces of DNA, and anyone can go to these websites, and you can order this DNA.
Have South Africans participated in this competition before, and how have we previously fared?
Last year was the first time that South Africa participated, and they were actually the first African team to ever participate in IGEM, and they brought back a bronze medal, so that was quite a big achievement for first time round. And then this year we are representing South Africa, of course, again, along with two other African teams. So it's quite nice to see that, you know, we start. Hopefully in the future we'll get some more South African universities involved, you know, for some healthy competition.
Sure. Have you had a look at that? I mean, do you get to see the other teams that you'll be competing against? Have you already had an opportunity to see their work?
Yes, everything is open source. With this competition, that is one of the rules. All your work has to be open source. So everyone's project is online, and anyone can access it, even members of the public. So you can just Google IGEM 2011 and whatever university you want to look at, and you'll find their websites on the IGEM page. And, so, of course, that gave us the opportunity to look at any team in the world. So we have looked at some of the teams that we'll be competing against. And not to brag, but we actually did quite a bit more work, and we have successful data over some of our competitors.
Oh, great. Now, I often wonder, you know, when people like yourselves who are in research and based at the universities, when you do get some success, let's say, for example, the project is a success and it's found to work, what then happens to that work? I mean, to that work? I mean, does the credit now, do you go off to some pharmaceutical companies, or how does it, what actually happens, and then who gets the credit in the end? I mean, because, I mean, it could end up being something that is extremely valuable, you know, in terms of, how it may help, say, for example, the treatment of cancer. Who owns that intellectual property?
I'm sure. Look, in relation to the IGEM competition, that's one of the criteria is that your work is open source, like I just mentioned.
Yeah.
So you're actually not allowed to own that intellectual property because it's open source. But what some teams do is if they come up with something, you know, novel and something great that works, they can actually patent it if they'd like, but then they have to withdraw from the competition because it's that information in an open source form. So those teams will usually withdraw, and then they go on to do great things with their projects. But look, our project, although it has many great successes, it's not as far as, you know, using it for an application that we've come up with yet. So we are still in the competition. So once it's in the IGEM registry and on their website, you cannot, that is not your intellectual property anymore.
Okay. Yeah. And the project that you're doing, does it form part of your studies, and how much longer do you have to go before you complete your honors studies?
Yes, it is. So although we, it's four biologists working on one project, each one of us is doing it for our honors research part of our degree. Mm. And so we're all going to take a small bit of that project and use it as our honors project.
Mm.
Yeah, we finish in mid-November. All of us finish in mid-November. So we're going to, we just have to write our projects up and then write the exams and we're nearly done.
And then what are your plans, Sasha, once you've completed with your honors? What's next? Master's, PhD and all that, or what?
Hopefully, yeah. I'm going to, I'm applying for my master's, as are all my colleagues.
Mm.
So, yeah, all of us are going to take science further and hopefully, you know, make something out of ourselves one day.
So you're all more academics than anything else, yeah?
Yes.
So you will continue doing more research work and all that?
Yes,
okay.
That's the plan.
So you leave on Thursday. How long will we be away, and when will we get to find out whether you're bringing the gold back?
We won't be away too long. We come back the following Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we won't be there too long. So we'll definitely report back to everyone on the results. And you can find us on Facebook, or you can just Google R2011 VITS and you'll find our website. And you can follow us on there and see what we're up to and if what kind of medal we've brought back and all of that.
IGEM, how do you spell that?
It's IGEM.
Oh, okay, IGEM. All
yes.
Right. And that's, is that a Facebook or there's a website address there?
You can just Google it.
Oh,
I'm
just
not
Google
sure
it.
What the
oh,
actual
okay.
URL is. Yeah,
I got
just
you.
Google it, or you, yeah, and then just Google Facebook IGEM VITS and you'll find our page as well.
Fascinating stuff. Well, Sasha, we wish you all the best, and I hope that you guys will bring back the gold, and we look forward to hearing about the research as you continue to develop it.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us on the show.
Not at all. That is Sasha Reznichenko. She's an honors student in molecular medicine at the WITS University. And they're off, as you heard there, to a competition. And let's see whether their project will be judged to be the best.